get ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying, I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just going to say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball, but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's going to like you, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is Mr. Spann, and this is episode number 209 of the report. As I let you guys know on the end of episode 208 and on episode 13 of the Beer and Chicken podcast, I'm going to be out of town this week, so there won't be a live show this week. But I did have a chance to kind of speak with the guys over at the Black, White, and Yellowish podcast. For those of you who haven't been paying attention, the Black, White, and Yellowish podcast was a show that was going to be on the Spann Report Podcast Network. We released 4 episodes, and because of what those dudes were saying on their show, you guys let me know that you weren't really feeling it. And it resulted in a grand opening, grand closing kind of a deal. They were only here a day, and they like created such an uproar that we had to part ways with those guys. But in the midst of that, you know, there was some miscommunications, there was some misunderstandings and some hurt feelings. So I had a chance to talk with Ardell and with James over at the Black, White, and Yellowish podcast, and we were able to kind of hash some things out and get some understandings about some things. And I felt like it was important for you guys to actually hear their side and also better understand my side on this as well. So this is going to be episode 209 of the report. And yeah, we're going to get right into it. And I'll talk to you guys again on episode 14 of the Beer and Chicken podcast this coming Memorial Day. We'll see you guys live then. But yeah, we'll get right into it. So here it is.
What's going on? What's going on, everybody? Spann?
What's happening, man?
What's going on? So I don't know who's really, you know, who's leading this, you know, if it's Black, White, and Yellowish or the Spann Report. But
Black, White, and Yellowish, this is y'all thing. Let's go.
Okay, well, we're here to clear the air or just set some things straight on what things may, how things may have been perceived about us and our podcast.
We're not rapists.
Or rape apologists.
As though it may have been seemed or seen.
Yeah, we definitely are with the cause of Bill Cosby getting what he deserved. And
like, so what was the big complaints anyway? Is it that, was that what we were being rape apologists or something like that, or is it because we were being untactful with what we said? Or
that was one of the complaints, was the way in which you guys were like kind of talking about, and some felt even joking about, rape and what happened with, say, for instance, Bill Cosby and you know, some of those things, you know, just the ways in which you guys were kind of talking about it. And I don't know, like, sometimes for folks, man, I don't know if, like, when you're talking about a heavy topic, some people, you know, they have different reactions. Like, some people will talk about a heavy topic and in a time where you don't necessarily know how to react, some people have like some nervous laughter kind of thing going on. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that can, you know, manifest itself over the air. And folks, if they're not able to see your face, they're not able to like kind of watch how you have this conversation, you know,
that's some true.
Lost in translation. But I think, you know, one of the biggest things was, you know, the nature of the conversations, how those conversations were taking place, and like the levity that was there, where folks were feeling like there was no levity to be had.
Right. Do you think people maybe didn't realize maybe we were more of a comedy podcast? Like, even though we talk about real stuff, we obviously add our little, you know,
satire
comedy thing. I mean, you know, maybe some of it might be untasteful for some people, which that's fine, I get it. But do you think maybe some people went into it listening, thinking it was probably going to be a more serious thing? Because I can understand, like, if I was like a type of podcast listener that listens, you know, a little bit more of a serious, more serious discussion, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I was going to be listening to. This would shock me, and I can understand being upset if I was that type of person.
Like, if people listen to your podcast, you know, you're way more serious than we are. You know, we're definitely based in comedy.
Yeah.
But we talk about real issues, and we you know, we actually touch on a lot of stuff that we feel, you know, as for the three things we have in common, we're all military guys. Our backgrounds are totally different, but we're all poor. We was all poor. We all military guys. And so, being that we've traveled around the world, you know, and not talking down to anybody that hasn't had these experiences, but we've traveled around the world, and we see a lot of shit differently than what the average person may see. And we know that a lot of things that we complain about in this country and our issues are first world problems, and that, and we feel like we're very soft for that. You know what I'm saying? And so I think we can have a better dialogue when we're not so uptight about shit, you know?
Okay. So, like you both brought up like a couple points. And so like the first point, you know, that James made, you were talking about being a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
One thing, I think from the beginning, folks would get the impression that, you know, this was supposed to have been something that was funny, right? From the very beginning, because of the way that the show was introduced, right?
I hope so.
Right. They would think so, right? But I think what gets lost sometimes is the ultimate arbiter as to what is funny is the audience, right?
Correct.
The ultimate audience, like those are the people who decides what's funny and what. And if your audience isn't finding what you're saying funny, then it wasn't funny. You may find an audience that is conducive to, you know, your brand of comedy, right? There's a whole lot of different brands of comedy. Like, there's some comics that I don't find particularly funny, and then there's some that I find fucking hilarious. But the ultimate arbiter of that is the audience. And
right, let's just add that you find me funny when we're in person. Let's just add that.
Yeah. So, like,
no, not
there's that aspect of it, right? And I think with my audience, because of the things that, you know, I talk about on my show, some of the things that may have been discussed on your show, they wouldn't find it funny because of the way I talk about these things and the way that they've kind of can, you know, they think about these things as well.
Okay. Right. And we can understand it. We can fully understand that.
Right. Now, the second part is, you know, you were talking about the, you know, you were talking about, you know, being military guys and, you know, being all over the world and you know, whether or not, you know, like some folks like, these are first world problems and are, you know, we are soft, so to speak, right? I think what's happening is there has been for the longest time people tired of being the butt of certain jokes. And what's happening is like, okay, like, you know, you will hear people talk about, well, you know, we can't say these gay jokes anymore. The reason why you can't say these gay jokes anymore is because gay people are like, yo, man, we tired of this shit. You know what I'm saying? The reason why you can't do these Muslim jokes as much as you would like, because these Muslim people are like, yo, man, we tired of this shit. Like, at a certain point, the marginalized groups that are being poked fun about are like, man, we tired of this shit. And they letting folks know. And these voices are being amplified through through social media, through the media, so to speak. Like, these voices now have a microphone in front of them to say, like, yo, this shit ain't funny. It's never been funny. And we tired of this shit. And fuck you for even like continuing to say these things. So I think that's what is catching a lot of folks off guard, especially those who've never had to deal with certain issues. It's catching them off guard because they've never been confronted with this stuff before.
Right. But okay, I can agree. I, as a stand-up comedian, I definitely 100% agree with what you just said. That, you know, the audience chooses, you know, what's funny, and you have to, you know. But I also believe that the audience has a duty to be open to just laughing and not critiquing. Like, you can just try to, if I watch something, I'm not just gonna be like, oh, this is some BS, because I don't consider what they're saying to be truthful, relevant, or understanding of these marginalized people. What I can do is say, hey, let me open my mind and say, let's see if these guys, if they joking about or whatever they're doing about it is understanding, you know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of times today we love to label people. We actually love to put people more in boxes today than we do anything, especially when it comes to offending people. I think we do that way too much.
Well, I mean, like, if it were me, Like, I feel like, say, for instance, if I'm like an audience member and I come to, like, say, an Ardell, if I come to a Detroit boat show, right? I come to a show and I pay my money to, and I'm hoping that boat makes me laugh, right?
Correct.
Yeah. At the end of the day, that's the only thing I owe you was the money to come there to help. And the transaction is you making me laugh.
Right.
Now, if boat doesn't make me laugh, then I can therefore walk, get up, walk out. And I can also say what I think about the show that I witnessed.
100% agree.
Right. So that's really, that's really the only, like the only thing that, say a producer and an audience owes each other. That's
I
really
agree with that.
Owe each other.
And I 100% agree with that. But I wish the people who sent emails to you and messaged you would have just commented on our videos or
say it sucks or something.
Us sent us an email so we could have a dialogue between us and them, or we could have had the topics put on the show so we could have a dialogue with them, not the network. You know what I'm saying?
I guess one thing I think is, like, I think some people are just a little disingenuous with what they're trying to say. Like, I remember, I don't know. I think Bo, you mentioned, like, they were telling him that, that, like, I don't know why you would associate yourself with people like this and stuff like that, as if we're, like, you know, these disgusting human beings when, you know, like you said, we might talk about real stuff and maybe our jokes suck. Like you said, it's, if the audience doesn't find it funny, then that's fine. If I find something not funny, I'm just, all right, I'm not going to watch it anymore, or I'm not going to listen to it. But I'm not going to sit there and be disingenuous and be like, you know why he's not funny? Because he hates gays and fags and stuff like that. You know what I mean? And I'm like, that's disingenuous to say, or he hates Mexican people or black people or, you know, whatever, because he's saying all these things.
Here's some context, right? So I don't know if you guys, like, listen to the apology that I put out on the network feed.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, right? We did.
So on that apology, I mentioned the fact that even I have, you know, like I on my show, I've talked about some of the people that they put on, so like a show like, you know, The Breakfast Club, or the people that they've allowed to, like, with Tommy Lauren going on The Daily Show. I think Tommy Lauren says some foul shit.
And
part of putting her on The Daily Show legitimizes a lot of foul shit, because now that, you know, it like they're looking at her as someone legitimate because she was on The Daily Show. So I've talked about this on my own show, where I questioned whether or not it's appropriate to give certain voices a platform.
Well, I
so hold on.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've done that on my show, right? So for a listener. To a listener of my show to then therefore hear, you know, you guys who to a certain degree are polar opposites in some of the things that you talk about as to what I represent. Mm. Like, that's where they would get that notion. We're like, wait a minute, Span. Like, you were saying this about these dudes over here at 105.1 and you were talking about The Daily Show. But then here you go on a back end and you're doing pretty much the same thing that you
right.
Those guys are doing. So for my audience, it's like that was a check of me. It wasn't a check of y'all.
Oh, so you were being a hypocrite. Basically,
that was a check of me. It was like, what are you doing? Because you said that was some bullshit, and now here you are doing the exact same thing that you were calling these other folks out for. So that wasn't necessarily a dig at y'all. It was more like
maybe we didn't look at it like that.
We didn't look at it like that. Shit. That's what that was.
Yeah. So I now that you put it in context like that, I accept it. We can move on. We can move on. Because we had some hostility with us. We had some hostility.
Yeah.
We had a lot of hostility. We made a little, you know, Tupac rant video.
I just didn't like how it was like, just because you associated with us, that somehow that made you a bad person now or something, or that we were even bad people. I guess that's one thing I don't like, that, you know, I guess in general, when people are listening, I feel like, you know, like I said earlier, it's disingenuous that, you know, you say one thing and all of a sudden you're labeled this whole thing. Like, we've even talked about in our podcast, like, say you're for gay marriage, all of a sudden you're this liberal queen queer. And then if you're for gun rights, all of a sudden you're just this right wing racist person when it's like, I can't believe in both. Like, you know what I mean? And I think maybe some of the stuff we talked about, like, yeah, maybe it was distasteful for some people. Then just, you know, I think for those listening, then let it just be distasteful to them. Just, you know, don't listen to this stuff. But I think to label us as some kind of a rape apologist because we made a few jokes about it or whatever. The thing is, like, our platform is like, I don't know, maybe necessarily, I don't know how you, Span, that's how you talk. But at least in my own experience, most guys talk the way we talk. Now, not necessarily with what we agree on, but, you know, most guys in most circles, at least my experience, we all talk kind of disgusting like that. And I'm sure you've experienced that yourself.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's definitely a way that dudes talk when they're amongst each other that they may necessarily talk amongst mixed company, right? But at the same time, like, I think a lot of that comes from, you know, the way we were socialized. And, you know, some, you know, this is just me speaking, man, some of that shit, man, has always been foul. And in the ways right. that we talk about other folks, once we get amongst each other, like, okay, now we,
oh yeah, oh, I agree with you. Oh, 100%.
We're free to like say all this foul shit because they're not in the room. And so, you know, one of the things like I kind of push back on, and if you listen to my show, man, I try to talk to dudes, the dudes who are listening to my show, I try to kind of chip at some of those socializations because I had to unlearn a hell of a lot of shit, you know, that like once I figured out how I was behaving and how it was affecting the people around me, that whole thing, like I had to, it was like a self-analysis sort of thing, and how I was contributing to the pain of other people.
Yeah.
And if I can come back from that, if I can like kind of pull back from a lot of those different behaviors and the ways that I was thinking and the ways that I was acting, and if I can impart some of that on, you know, some of the fellas who may be listening, like, hey, man, like, you don't necessarily have to be this way, and explain why, you know, like, that's a lot of what I do with my show ends up being about that sometimes. Like, some of the ways we are socialized are kind of fucked up. And you can, you know, like, you don't necessarily have to like be that way simply because we've always been that way. Like, sometimes the ways we've been have been fucked up, and it's okay for you to kind of pull back from that. Like, you know what? That's not cool. You know, I know a little bit better. I know a little bit more. I don't have to act that way anymore.
Of course.
You know, a lot of that is, you know, when you listen to the Span Report, you get a lot of that, you know, depending on what the topic of the day is, whether or not it's talking about R. Kelly, whether or not we're talking about Bill Cosby, whether or not we're talking about Roman Polanski, whether we're talking about Trump, no matter what it is, like, we're talking about not only the ways in which we're behaving, but how we even got to that point. You know what I'm saying? Like, how did I get to a point where I felt like this was all right? You know? And so I talk a lot about that stuff, man. So, you know, going back to your original point, man, like, of, you know, we talk like this all the time. I think sometimes, man, like, we have to recognize too that if, especially if you're going to talk like this and get in front of a microphone and present this to other people, you're going to definitely run into some folks who ain't feeling what the fuck you're talking about. Yeah. And they're going to let you know, especially when you start doing this publicly.
Yeah, no, I prefer that. Like I said, I would prefer people comment and say what they're going to say instead of, you know, say like, and this is me thinking like it's messed up for them to say this to you. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
to say that you're like this kind of person just because.
Well, understand this too. When we were setting up the whole, you know, bringing you guys into the fold at the Span Report Podcast Network,
right.
You know, we hadn't even got a chance to set up an email address for you guys and your show. You know what I'm saying? Like, that never happened.
It was the first day. It was the first day.
Associated with you guys and the network. So, like, the way that folks contact me usually is through the email for the Span Report Podcast Network. You know what I'm saying? So that's pretty much how they came at it. You know, the listeners spoke how they felt. Like, my listeners spoke how they felt about you guys being on the network. And, you know, my thinking going into it was like, yo, if they didn't like the show, then they didn't have to listen.
Right.
But at
right.
the same time, I also understood what my listeners were when they were like, yo, Span, this was your position on this particular thing concerning other media entities. Here you are doing the same thing you were decrying these other motherfuckers doing. Yeah. And they were calling me out. That's
which,
what
which I can understand that. Which I understand that.
Well, see, that, and that's a big issue. I didn't know that's that was your stance. Yeah, we didn't look at it like that. Well, I didn't even know that was your stance on the issue. Like you said, you didn't appreciate Tommy Lauren being on the Daily Show or that kind of platform when you're, I guess, you know, in your opinion, that you're giving them the platform type of deal. Well, I didn't know that's where you came from.
Where we used to, the perfect example with Tommy Lauren. Like, Tommy Lauren is one of these type of people who would compare the Black Lives Matter movement to the KKK.
Right.
And so would Glenn, by the way. So would Glenn.
Totally fucking retarded. Totally train of thought.
Oh, but him and Bo argue a bunch of totally stuff. That's what I'm saying.
Because Black Lives Matter has killed no one. Black Lives Matter has never lynched anybody. Black Lives Matter is only asking for, hey, can we get some due process when these police are acting a motherfucking fool? All they're asking for is a court date. And you're comparing that to the KKK, who for the better part of 100 right. years terrorized a whole race of people, tried to disenfranchise folks from voting. Like, there is no fucking.
Yeah, that's a bad example.
So to give a person with that sort of frame of mind the level of legitimacy that comes with being on a show like The Daily Show or putting her on Real Time with Bill Maher, or even, hell, now she's a contributor on fucking Fox News. Like, you've legitimized this person's point of view where, like, they're getting mainstream fucking coverage the same way that you would regular, straightforward news. And that's a dangerous precedent to set when you're putting hateful motherfuckers out in front like they're regular motherfucking news.
Right.
I don't think that's necessarily bad. I mean, I understand why you're saying that, why it could be bad, but is it really that bad for – I mean, for example, The Daily Show – listeners and viewers are obviously more leaning to whatever The Daily Show, right? So I think when they have guests on there, I think for the most part, I don't think they're curious to know, like, exactly, or try to be like, oh, I want to agree with Tommy Lauren. I think they just want to see what was it, Trevor Noah?
Yeah.
What his response is to what she says is more or less. Like, when you listen to Bill Maher or whatever, right? Is that his name?
Bill Maher.
Like, I think for the most people that listen to him, generally agree with him anyway.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I don't think they're going to sit there and listen to a guest, but I think it's always healthy.
That's the same thing that Fox does, right? Because, you know, on the right wing, you got Fox News,
you got Breitbart,
you've got Daily, the Washington Times. Like, they have their outfits, you know, Sinclair Media Group bought a whole hell of a lot of local television stations, and they're already putting their propaganda into the news for these news stations that they own across the country. This is already happening, right? So you're getting this across the board. But what I would say is, like, if you look at what's been happening with the woman in the Waffle House, you look at what happened with the woman at Yale University, you look at what happened with the guys at Starbucks. Like, these sorts of attitudes are being legitimized, and it manifests itself in white folks calling police on black people just trying to live their fucking life. And most of the excuses that end up happening, most of the excuses that we get are, well, they didn't buy, they didn't buy anything. We only let people into the bathroom unless they buy something. And then you got a white person, well, I didn't buy shit, and I was able to go in there and get to use the bathroom. Or in the case of the Waffle House, they want to charge a girl 50 cents to get utensils for the shit that she just bought in their store to eat.
Do you think it legitimizes people, though, in a sense? Do you think they're already popular before they even get onto these shows?
I think what happens is once you put these sorts of perspectives on national television, once you put them on when you put them on places where folks think they're legitimate, right?
Okay.
Once folks start seeing that, you know, legitimate news or media organizations are entertaining this level of thought, then somehow it gives their level of thought, because there's always been racist motherfuckers, but they've had to curtail that shit because it wasn't seen as, you know, it wasn't seen as acceptable. So now you got all these different sorts of trains of thought being pushed in the mainstream, being pushed further and further into the mainstream, where now a lot of these things are becoming outright acceptable to a certain segment of the population. They're being more overt in their racism, where before they were a little bit more covert. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know a lot of people who are like, well, I like my races out in front of me. I don't want them to be like smiling in my face. Like, I know a whole lot of folks who think like that. until it manifests itself and you right there in front of it and the police is taking your ass to jail for sitting in the fucking Starbucks. Right. You know what I'm saying? So like these, like the level of where this propaganda or where this, where these points of view are being maintained in the mainstream, where hateful levels of thought are being pushed into the mainstream, it legitimizes it for a larger portion of the population to where they believe they can behave in the same ways. And that's the problem. That is the gist of it. That you can't have these sorts of these vile, hateful points of view legitimized to the point where folks feel like they can just do this to anybody at any time with no repercussions whatsoever.
So on that, you know, Span, you and I pretty much agree on that. Our show is split in three different personalities. Me being the black-ish, James being the yellow-ish, and Glenn being the white guy. But we you know, I'm neutral, but I'm black and I'm always going to be black, and so I understand what we go through, and I talk to that to our audience.
Right.
Glenn is a more of a right wing guy, but he loves hip hop, so he's pretty complex in that era where sometimes I don't really understand it, but whatever, that's his opinion. What he's entitled. Him right. And I go back and forth. We argue.
Oh yeah, man.
We argue. Yeah, man, we argue. We damn. If we're in the same place, we'll come to blows. Right. A lot of things I don't agree with. But I'll never. You know what I'm saying? I like the guy. I know him personally. I like him, but his views and what he talk about, his talking points are, I think, very ignorant.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that's his point. His point of view.
I'm more libertarian.
I can't get mad at him.
How long have you guys known each other?
I've known Glenn, 4 years?
Okay. So one of the things about, you know, this is like, depending on your relationship with folks will determine how much you're willing to tolerate from them.
Oh, I agree with you.
Right. So I've got a friend, one of my best friends. He was best man in my wedding. He's a conservative cat. We don't agree on shit. But I love that dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love that dude like a brother. We don't agree on a hell of a lot. We sit up on the phone. We'll talk about some shit and, you know, we'll hash some stuff out. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, hey man, how the family doing? How's the wife doing? The kids, this, that, and the other. And it's only because of that relationship that we had before we were adults. Like, we've known each other since we were 17 years old. That's my brother, right? Like, not by my mom or nothing else. We go back. We got some history before we got to this point as men. And so I think what happens is, like, you know, even with you and like with Glenn or whatever else, like you're able to tolerate some of those things simply because, like, you guys had a relationship prior to any of this, right? Yeah. Now for the listeners, they ain't got that relationship.
Yeah.
The listeners don't know y'all from shit, like don't know you from Adam. So they like, man, if this is the, like, their introduction to you,
right?
They're already checked out on what it is that you are like. Like, if they like, say, for instance, if you're pro Trump and the listener is already like, fuck everything Trump is about.
Yeah.
They're not trying to hear you. They're not even like, they've already checked out on you because that's their introduction to you. And like, especially this late in the game, when it comes to Trump's presidency and everything else, like, they've already checked out on you. And you're going to have to, like, if they're going to listen, they're going to listen because of one of the other guys, like, right. Maybe win them over a certain period of time. But folks tolerate things now based upon relationships. And, you know, I'm sure all of us are like, got folks in our family that, you know, who says, you know, wild and crazy shit. But, oh man, Uncle Boo is crazy as hell, man. But he killing that motherfucking ribs on the grill, bro.
So, don't you think that's a problem though? To a degree, I mean, because where is the line when something is you know truly hateful, or you're just censoring it, or when is something where we're getting to a point now where if somebody's like, oh, I'm a Hillary fan, then the dude's like, oh, I don't even want to talk to this person, or vice versa. I think it's kind of fucked up that we're getting to that kind of point. Like you said, like, obviously our relationships determine how much you're going to tolerate with that person. But isn't that kind of the point? Like, isn't that what we're supposed to be living in, that we're supposed to be tolerable with each other with certain things, but not to a point where all of a sudden it's like a WWF match or, you know, I'm going for Macho Man and this person's going for Hulk Hogan. It don't even matter anymore. You just don't like each other over, well, maybe
it goes like this. I think for one, folks don't owe you shit.
That's true. I mean, for sure.
That's the first thing. Folks don't owe you their time. They don't owe you their attention. They don't owe you anything. Right. They don't owe it to you. The second part is when it comes to, like, say, for instance, you know, like politics, like especially the climate of the politics now. Like, if I feel like your pro-Trumpness is at my expense, I don't owe you the time for you to like I don't owe this to you to like kind of hear you out, especially when hearing you out means that something bad is going to happen to me. So like a lot of people are feeling like with what's going on with this Trump administration and with the rise of hate crimes in America, with the rise of, you know, a lot of these little microaggressions that are happening, you know, on a racial scale, like we talk about with the Starbucks shit and the Waffle House shit and using the police because white black people are doing some normal shit and white folks feel like they need to call the police on them. Like, they're not really trying to entertain this level of, you know, this train of thought. We're like, well, we got to give him a chance. Like, yo, giving him a chance means some fucked up shit is going to happen to me and people who look like me. And they're not trying to hear that. You know, I think what happens is with with Trump and with like the state of politics, period, is that there have been lines clearly drawn. And if you're going to cross either one of those lines, you are, you're running a very parallel, like you're on a, it's almost like on a tightrope. Mm-hmm. You better say the right shit. And you better be legitimate in your shit. You better be like, I want to say you better believe in what it is that you're saying, because folks are going to call you out on what you say.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to understand is like you said, obviously, like if your pro-Trumpness is at my expense, for example, like there's a lot of people that don't think that, that think that something bad's going to happen to you or whatever. And like with any president, I just feel like most of the time it doesn't, like, I don't know how much it affects. Like, I don't know which issue specifically maybe Trump does. If not, I feel like it's more just any politician in general within your area or is kind of, so, you know, look, what I mean?
You look at how Trump constructed the cabinet, right? You got people running departments that have no fucking clue what the department even entails. This dude has Rick Perry running the motherfucking energy department, who didn't even know that the nuclear system was even tied into that department. He's got Betsy DeVos running the Department of Education. Betsy DeVos has never been involved in education in her life. She's never been a part of, she's never been a teacher. She's never been an administrator. She's been a political contributor, but she's never run an education system in her life. And you start finding out that, like, in the news, they put these shit out on Friday news dumps that the education department has been just, scuttling fucking discrimination complaints for expediency, just to get through all of the complaints. They're not even looking at all of them. They just go through them and say, fuck it, we're not going to even deal with it, just so they can get through all of the complaints. When you look at Ben Carson, who is a neurosurgeon running a housing and urban development, and he's saying, well, we need to get these poor people to pay more money for their rent. They can barely afford to pay the shit that they have now. So how then do you get poor people to pay more money for this rent that they can barely afford? It's like, see, these are the things that happen that folks aren't paying attention to. Mm. Where, well, like you look at, like, okay, so who's ultimately responsible for these sorts of decisions being made? And the man up top right now is Donald Trump.
So, and to piggyback on what you're saying, Span, and like I've said on our show, that it's not really about who Trump is. It's about what he embodies and everything that people who support him embody. That's the problem when it comes
to Trump. When you find the KKK is in line with Donald Trump, yeah, off rip, I'm like, yo, fuck him.
But hasn't the KKK always been like right-leaning or Republican voting? It was like when the other two white dudes that ran, the old dude, the Vietnam vet, John McCain and the Mormon dude.
Mitt Romney. They weren't really.
Yeah, but But you're all, but they always get labeled to a degree, like there's these racist white dudes, or they're somehow racist somehow. Like, that's always been like a talking point, I feel. And the same thing with the right does to the left, that they're somehow trying to fuck you over and your fucking money and your taxes. You know what I mean? I always feel like there's talking points that you're never going to get rid of.
Here's the thing. Someone like a John McCain will actually call out a racist for being a racist. I remember when John McCain was running for president against Barack Obama, and that old white lady got up and said, well, he's a Muslim and he's not from America. And John McCain right then in that moment told her, he was like, no, that's not true. Right. He's like, I got a lot of differences with Barack Obama, but he's an American. He's a fine man. I just have some disagreements with him.
Yeah, John, I did like that. He earned my respect right there when he right. did that.
John McCain will call that bullshit out. Donald Trump will act like the shit ain't happening and it's right in our fucking face. Donald Trump will tell you I can have somebody shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and I won't lose a vote. And he's fucking correct. Donald Trump will go into a rally and say, yo, back in the day, they'd be out on stretchers and shit. And he's promoting his crowd to beat the hell out of protesters in the rally.
Like, he's definitely pushing his limits.
No, he's talking to his audience. That's what he's definitely doing. He's
talking to his audience, but he's also activating that audience to do something. I agree with you.
I agree 100%.
Right? So again, we talk about the dangerous aspects of this rhetoric and allowing folks to be racist in ways where they were before, like he's made it acceptable for them to behave in this way. This is the danger of having racist rhetoric legitimized in this way, because it manifests itself in people of color and minorities always catching the brunt of the racism and the xenophobia and all of this other shit. Right. And, yeah. Yeah, your shit at 2%, man. You better get it.
Yeah. I just text both of y'all.
I know. I would definitely, I don't know, I'd like to talk more about it, you know, another time or whatever. Obviously, both got to go.
We gotta, man, we definitely got to get, like, I want to have a full show with us. And this is just us to air out and show you our opinion, but just on other topics. Not just
I can be
this.
Serious.
No, to bring you on for other topics and for us to talk. And because you do have a viewpoint and we enjoy that, and you also can make jokes, you can laugh. And so we enjoy that. And again, to your listeners, he was really messing with us because him and I, you know, went to high school together, and he was a year over me. And since then we've hung out maybe once or twice.
Yeah, parties and shit.
Yeah. And so, We had a good time. It was always solid people, and I appreciate the opportunity spent to give them black, white, and yellow another platform.
We're not racist, homophobic, rape apologists. Freaking, you know.
we may come across like of all course. Of them, but we are who we are, and we stand by what we say. But we're also understanding grown men who. Fathers and all of the above.
Yeah, man. So like I said, man, for you, when I put the apology out, man, I wanted to apologize to y'all because you know, there were expectations that you guys may have had, you know, with joining the network and everything, and that whole thing falling apart, partly because, you know, I didn't do my due diligence, right? Like, I didn't do my due diligence as far as, you know, listening to what you guys were saying to see if that would even be something my audience would even be like receptive to. And, you know, being a steward of a brand, you know, I'm not even used to this shit, but like being a steward of a brand, you know, it's, you got to be cognizant of that. I believe in what I say. And so in believing in what I say, yo, like, as much as I wish success for you guys, man, my audience may not necessarily be the audience for you guys, but I'm sure you guys will find an audience that that will love the Black, White, and Yellowish podcast.
Yeah, no, and like you said, it made you look like a hypocrite from what your previous things that you said. So, yeah, we understood, especially when you cleared that up. We were like, I already clicked in my head.
Yeah.
So, like, all right. So, appreciate y'all, fellas. I'm about to get on this road. Thank you for the time, Span.
All right, Span.
James, I'll get with you on Monday.
All right, man.